Sasana Prakimung. This halacha is about two different cases that, if you look at this halacha, you think they might be like a very theoretical, nothing to do with anything practical, just a halacha. And you'll see, if we go through the problem of it, it has two very, very practical nafkaminas, unexpected practical nafkaminas. Okay, so what does it say? Kli cheres hametzupin, the Mechaber says, Kli cheres hametzupin behituch tzchuchus, a cheres kli, which is covered with a glass coating on it, dinam kli cheres has a din of a kli cheres. This is the Gemara. The Gemara calls it money to kunya, and there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos what that means, but this is going like Tosfos and most Rishonim, that it means cheres that's covered with glass, and cheres that's covered with glass has a din of cheres to it. Okay. If you're curious, you can look at it. What we call China is in fact cheres that's covered with glass. This money the kunya is what we have is China. If you look at it carefully, you look at a broken piece like this. You look at it carefully, you could see the glass that's coating the cheres, which is more. I mean, we're talking about it for our Golos Kelim. It's a shiloh. That coating that's on there is a shiloh for Tefillos Kelim, because cheres doesn't need coating, doesn't need feeling clear. That's my focus, but our Chinese needs to feel. Okay. Okay, now.
The stoneware
is also a form of China. The difference between the different forms of China has to do with how you make up the base, the cheres that's in there,
right.
The different ingredients that you put into it. But they're all of them have in common is that there is some kind of a cheres covered with a glass on top of it. Okay? Now, the question is like this. And in a couple of halachas, we're going to find out there's a machlokes rishonim where the glass is balei. Okay? It's not a gemara. It's a machlokes rishonim where the glass is balei or not. So, there's a question. The rishonim are having a machlokes where the glass is balei or not. And here, l'chayra, this is the ferish of gemara, the glass is balei. If you say that glass is not belay because it's so smooth, it's not belay anything. So then, what's the Gemara's question about money de kunya, whether it's belay? It has a glass coating, it has an impervious coating on top of the cheres. So how can you tell me that it's a kli cheres because underneath there's cheres under it, but the belay can't get through the glass? Most Rishonim hold that glass is not belay. If glass is not belay, so then how did the belay get into the cheres? Now you could tell me that's the style of the Gemara. Okay, and the Gemara's answer to the question is the Gemara's question: money the kunya they belay, and the Gemara says, eventually after going through, if you think the Gemara says chazinu le demadaisi, we see the belay coming through on the other side. So if we see the belay coming through on the other side, obviously it is belay. Okay, that's the Gemara's answer to it. So either you'll say the Gemara is asking the shayla whether glass is belay, and whatever you're going to say, but the Gemara seems to be pretty clear that glass is belay, because or else how could you treat this cheres? Okay, there's something that doesn't let belay go through. So, the Rishonim give two pshatim in the Gemara, which will answer this kasha. Okay, they're not asking it to answer the kasha, but the kasha is very clear. That how can you say glass is not belay when the Beferish Gemara that says that it is belay? Okay, so there's two answers. The Rosh says that glass and cheres have very similar properties. Both of them are: you take something out of the ground, you heat it up to very high temperatures, and it becomes more like a liquid. And then when that thing hardens, it has completely different properties than it had when it was originally in the ground. When it was in the ground, it was clay or it was sand. Okay, and when you then get it to, you fire it in a kiln at very high temperatures, it becomes, takes on completely different properties. Clay becomes cheres and sand becomes glass. They have very different properties than the original clay, than the original material. And therefore, since they're similar to each other, so the Rosh says, since they're so similar, and you fired them together at the same time in the kiln, so in this case, glass takes on properties of cheres. It's so similar, and it was made together, it has the same properties as cheres does, and therefore, usually, glass is not belay. But in this case, glass is belay. Okay? Well, at least the Gemara is specific whether it's belay, and the Gemara comes out, yes, it is belay. Okay, so that's what the Rosh says. Tosfos and Avodah Zarah. This Gemara is in Psachim and Avodah Zarah. So the Rosh is in Psachim, and Tosfos and Avodah Zarah says that here it's different because if you had a completely glass kli, then we say it's not belay. But here the glass is so thin, it's just a glaze, it's just a coating on top of the other kli, it's so thin, then it doesn't have the special properties of glass, and it could be belay, because it's so thin. Okay? So the Bir Halacha brings two nafkaminas between these two pshatim. Okay? The first nafkamina is, what happens if you put the glaze on after the cheres had already been fired in the kiln? I mean, you had made the ceramic clay by itself, you heated it up and you formed it into the clay, and then later you put the glaze onto it. So I don't know how it's done with China nowadays, but he says, the Rush is talking about that you did them together. They were both formed together, so they take on properties of one another. What happens if you would put it on afterwards? So he says, then the Rush would hold that it's nothing. The Rush is, it's not going to take on any of the properties of the cheres because it's glass going on to, sand going on to cheres. They have nothing to do with each other. It would not have the din of morning to kunya. It would be like regular glass again. And Tosfos would hold, it's still thin anyhow. Who cares? It's still a thin layer. So it's a layer. It's a thin layer. What's the difference? And the second thing is, what happens if you put the glaze onto a clay that's not cheres? Okay, what happens if you take glass and you put onto something like onto a metal clay? Okay, so then in that case, according to the Rush, there's no connection between glass and metal. They have nothing to do with each other. So then, of course, that according to the Rush, there would be no, the glass has just a plain old din of glass, doesn't have the special din of money, the kunya, that it lets glass go through it, and it has the regular din of glass, like you see, as opposed to, according to Tysus, it's thin anyhow, and since it's thin, it has a special din of money, the kunya, that glass can go through. Okay, so now, within this second afkamina, okay, what if you have glass, not on cheres, but glass on a different material. What does that mean? Now that the glass is, it doesn't have the end of glass, so it can be belayer. Does that mean that bleas pass through it, and the glass, it doesn't stop the bleas, but what about the glass itself? Does the glass have the chumra of cheres that it can't be kashered? It's belayer so much that it can't be kashered? Or, it's just, no, now it's like a regular material that things pass back and forth through it, so it lets bleas go through it, and it could theoretically be kashered, but in the case of the Gemara, it went through onto a piece of cheres. So because the base material is cheres, so you can't kasher it, you're stuck. But if it had gone through to a piece of metal, so then maybe you could kasher it, because metal could be kashered, and the glass also, yeah, okay, it got, you know, it's thin, so bleas go through it, but maybe who said it becomes like cheres? Okay, so would you say that it should be, I would have assumed that it just makes it, since it's so thin, it lets bleas go through it, and even if it absorbs something itself, but only absorbs itself to the point that it becomes like metal, which is even like some certain hold, that glass, real glass, a plain old glass has that thin. It's belayer, but it could be kasher. Why would I think that it should have the din of cheres? The Gemara didn't say that this money de kunya, that the glass has a din of cheres. The Gemara says that it has din of cheres because there's a base underneath it which is made of cheres. The core of the kli is cheres. So you can't kasher it because it has a din of cheres. So I would have assumed that the glass doesn't have a din of cheres. So glass on a piece of metal would not have a din of cheres, and the glass would be considered, would just let bleas go through, and then you have to kasher like regular. Just it wouldn't have the coolness of glass. Okay?
But
I mean, not clear. Let's say it has a thing that can only have the creeper. Yeah, well, which is exactly not to me. That's coming out. Yeah, very good. That's great. Let's say it has a thing that can only go the creeper, and the underneath thing would be cheres. I mean, or not to me. In this case, do you want to treat this thing like cheres? Should you treat the glass itself like cheres and say now I can't kasher it? The glass is on metal.
So
the Gros says. In halacha chavav, there's a machlokes, a machaber, and a ramah about glass. Okay, where the glass is belayer, the machaber says that it's not belayer, and the ramah says we're machmir that it is belayer. Okay, then at the end of that halacha, the ramah says, and if you have a silver kais which is coated with glass, so then you can't kasher it. Coated with glass on the inside, then you can't kasher it. So the Gra on that then says. The Gra on that then says, that's because this is like Tosfos. That Tosfos holds that glass, even a thin layer of glass, even on a different material, can be belayer. And the Ramah means it not only with the Hishita, that glass can't be belayer, that glass can be belayer, that glass can be belayer, even according to the Mechaber, who holds that glass can't be belayer. In this case, it's special because since it's such a thin layer, it has a thin of cheres. Okay, which is something that Tosfos doesn't say lahedya that it has a din of cheres. Tosfos just says when it's very thin, then bleas go through it. When they go through it, we would have said it goes through it, and the base is cheres, so it goes through with the cheres. So the cheres can't be kashered. But the Gra is learning that the glass itself has a din of cheres. Since it's so thin, the glass itself has a din of cheres, which it doesn't clearly say that in Tarsus.
The girl could mean it has a din of cheres in the aspect that goes in, but...
No, because he says this is afilu l'shit samachaber, that, oh, maybe he means that according to, just like, that it'll go in, it means the machaber glass doesn't absorb anything. And in this case, the machaber glass goes in, and... Well, he's saying
Ramaz can't kasher.
Can't kasher. Yeah, Ramaz said he can't do a gold. But he's trying to say is that even according to the Mechaber, you wouldn't be allowed to kasher this case. That's what he sounds like he's trying to say. That even according to the Mechaber, you wouldn't be allowed. You wouldn't be allowed.
Even though that was not on your shiva, that maybe even going to Tosis is the reason. That the reason is that it's thin. Even if you put it on the metal, it'll be like cheres.
That's what I'm trying. I would have never thought like that. I would have never thought like that. But the Gra,
you know,
right? That's why.
Right.
So the I would have never cleared it, except that the Gra says that in fact, yes, that thin layer of glass. But Tosfos means when it's thin means because Tosfos has some words about glass being like cheres. Tosfos over there, I didn't tell you, but there are some words in there that in Shabbos glass is a little like cheres. So the glass is so thin it gets taken on the din of cheres. So when the glass is on metal, the glass can't be kasher because the glass is like cheres, and it can't be kasher. And that Ramah,
right, something is like thin. Thin, it should be like cheres. I mean, where does that come from? I'm
understanding it. The only way to understand
it's like cheres because it's covered in cheres.
You would have thought if you read the, that's
it's
what I would have.
So fuck with the cheres inside.
Okay, so the answer is going to have to be that glass really, if we would close our eyes, we would say glass should have the din of cheres. Glass should not be kashered. Why? Because it has the same properties as cheres. You take it out of the ground, you put it into a kiln, you burn up to high temperature, so we would assume it has the same din of cheres. Not knowing anything about it, we would, in theory, assume it has the same din. But the Rishonim will argue say that it's shia, they bring a right from a lathe, that it's so smooth that it can't absorb. So that is to say, it can't absorb, but in theory, if it could absorb, then it would have the din of cheres, because in without knowing what glass looks like, you would think glass and cheres are probably the same thing, because they both dig them out of the ground, and you heat them up, and they take on new properties, you would say, oh, they probably have the same difference. So, without knowing that glass and cheres look nothing alike, you would say, oh, they probably have the same properties. So, now, Tosfos says that a thin glass does absorb, so now you could imagine that would mean it, oh, it could absorb, so now it reverts to being what glass would be, is that it would be like cheres. Okay, so that's what the Gra says. Now, I have to tell you, we'll see more about this in a second, but there's two more serious questions on this. One is that the Ramah didn't make up this din. Okay, this din the Ramah says about glass on silver, he didn't make up this din, okay, as usual. He doesn't make his din up usually. It comes from Trumas Hadeshen. Okay, the Trumas Hadeshen that the Ramah is bringing talks about whether the whole Trumas Hadeshen is about whether glass is layer or glass is not layer. This machlok is showing whether glass is layer and glass is not layer. And the Beis Yosef, when he brings this Trumas Hadeshen, brings it as part of his big discussion whether glass is layer or glass is not layer, as back and forth, yes it is, no it's not. And the Beis Yosef comes out, no it's not layer. Okay, so to say that the Trumas Hadeshen in his case, and the Ramah who's bringing him means, l'shitas hamachaber, it could be layer, because according to the Tosfos, it's such a thin layer, it's hard to believe. The Trumas Hadeshen is talking about that machlok is showing whether glass is layer. The Beis Yosef who brings it in the middle of a big piece that's this long about whether glass is layer or glass is not layer. So to say that the Ramah meant it, even according to the Shita Mechaber, because he's talking like Tosfos, it's hard to believe like that. Okay, it's just hard to take it. That's what he's trying to say. And also, just from a different side, and this is not such a kasha, is that the Marsha on that Tosfos learns basically that Tosfos agrees to the Rush. In other words, the Bir Halacha learns that the Rush and Tosfos are arguing with each other. The Marsha holds that they basically agree with each other, and he says, Lahedya, this case, if you have glass on top of metal, then he holds that it would not be, there would be no special din, there would be no bleeds going, the bleeds would go through and you'd be out to kasher. Okay, the Marsha on that Tosfos learns that, not like this Gra, and says that if the glass went onto metal, it would be the layer, but you'd be able to kasher it anyhow. Okay, so that's how the Gra says. Okay, so now let's pause this for a second. So what's the din here? We have two and a half shittas over here. We have the Rosh says that it's because glass and cheres are the same and they were fired together so they have a special thing. That's what the Rosh says. Tosfos says that it's because it's a thin layer. And within Tosfos, either Tosfos means, like the Gra says, that it's such a thin layer that it becomes like cheres itself, or it's so thin that it lets breeze go through it and then it has the din of the underlying base material, whatever that is, if it'll be cheres or metal, whatever it'll be, it'll have the din of that underlying material. Okay, so we have like two and a half sheets. Okay, we have one Rosh and two weights on the same Tosfos. Okay, so what's the din? Okay, there's a bunch of riots that the din is like the rush. Okay? You don't have to like any of these, right? But a bunch of riots that the din is like the rush. First of all, the Beis Yosef doesn't even bring Tosfos. Okay? And the Beis Yosef brings this thing, doesn't even bring the sheet of Tosfos, it just brings the sheet of the rush. The Mechaber, when sort of going along with this, the Mechaber says that the case is Klicheres Hamatzupim Behituch Tzuchas. Now, if you hold like Tosfos, sure, if you hold like Tosfos, according to the way the Gra learns it, why didn't he say Kalim Hamatzupim Behituch Tzuchas? Why did he say Klicheres? Now, I know the Gemara's case is Klicheres. That's the Gemara's case. Money the Kunya means Klicheres that are covered with glass. Why didn't he say Kalim Hamatzupim Behituch Tzuchas? Why did he say Klicheres? According to Tosfos, the Gemara would just give me an example, but Tosfos is making a point, according to the Gra, Tosfos is making a point that any kli, as long as it's a thin glass, the glass is what's important here, not the underlying material. So why didn't he say, Kalim Hamatzupim Behituch Tzuchas? Sounds like the Mechaber, who doesn't even bring Tosfos, holds, also like the Rosh, that it's special because it's cheres and glass together, and cheres and glass have similar properties, therefore they're able to, they take on each other's properties. But if it would be metal and tzuchas, it wouldn't have that thing. Okay, and the Mishnah Berurah on this din only brings the rush. In the Bir Halacha, he brings that there's a sheet of satisis, but in the Mishnah Berurah, he only brings the rush. And later on that din, when the Ramah says that you could, about the glass that's on the metal, on the silver, so when the Ramah brings that din, so the Mishnah Berurah over there says, well, this is going according to the Ramah, who holds, well, he doesn't, I'm adding words here, but he basically says, excuse me, this is going according to the Ramah, who holds that, glass can't be kosher. I mean, which is the way the Rush would learn that, the Rush kind of people would learn that Ramah. And not like the Gra says. He does not bring over there the Gra who says that it's going to even see the Tamachat. Okay? So that all tells us, or indicates that the din is either completely like the Rush, or enough like the Rush, or it's like, even if it would be like Tosfos, but it's Tosfos, not the way the Gra learned it. That's not the Halach like that. And that, okay. That all pushes us in that direction. Okay? So now, I told you, this is all sounds very theoretical, but me and Yossi talked about this once before, but it has a huge practical nafkamina, which is every single person's home oven is made from a material called porcelain enamel. That's what the walls and the floor and the door of the inside of your oven is made of this, which is metal with glass fused onto it. Okay, that's what the stuff is made out of. So if you decided that I'm going to kosher my oven,
that porcelain is glass, is a layer of glass?
No, porcelain, when you say plain porcelain, this could be porcelain. Porcelain is china. That's another way of saying china. But porcelain enamel, that word called porcelain enamel, means that's like a term that refers to steel with a glaze of glass on top of it.
Porcelain could mean china?
Yeah, the word porcelain by itself is used to describe china kind of dish, china thing, and so can enamel. But porcelain enamel, that combination together means glass fused onto metal. Okay, and as I told Jesse once before, I spent a long time on the phone with this guy from, it's called the Porcelain Enamel Institute. Okay, a guy, if I remember, they were
the first one in a week.
In 100 years, it was the first one he got. The guy sounded like he was dying to talk to somebody. This guy, it was like in Tennessee or something like that. And I don't understand what an instant what they do, but whatever it is, they advocate in the government for them. I don't know whatever that means. Okay, so who explained to me all kinds of details about this, much more than anybody wants to know. So this stuff is what they do is when they fuse the glass. What they do is they make glass, sheets of glass. Okay, just sheets of glass. They grind it up into a powder or into a liquid, spray it onto the metal, and put it back into the kiln, so the glass gets remelted, it gets refired, and it bonds with the metal. But it doesn't just bond and just stick on. It takes on properties of the steel. There's a reaction going on between the glass and the steel. They're not just sticking to each other. And it takes on unusual properties that are not like glass or not like steel. I mean, the glass, before they did it, if you hit it with a hammer, it would smash. But the glass in your oven, if you smash it with a hammer, it's not going to break. Okay? It's much stronger than glasses. It doesn't rust like steel does. And it can handle abrasives and chemicals and all kinds of things that the steel couldn't, but yet it doesn't have the fragility. It's not as, I don't know if it's such a word, it's not as fragile as glass. So that's why they make ovens out of, because ovens have to handle all kinds of unusual things. So the oven, you want to kosher your oven. So if you're going to do leaven gum into it, so fine. If you think that self-cleaning is leaven gum, or you want to put a torch onto it, do leaven gum, fine. But if you're going to do Liban Kal like most people do to it, so you have a question. What am I doing? If my oven is coated with glass, so we said the din is like the rush, that a thin layer of glass on metal has a din of glass. Okay? Not like Tosis, the way the Grub would learn it, that the Tosis, according to the Grub, would learn that a thin layer of glass on metal has a din of cheres. So according to him, it is in fact cheres. But according to the Rush, or according to the other way of learning, the thin layer of metal on top of glass has a din of glass. So we're Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim don't kasha glass. So what are we doing? Kashing our ovens. The oven is basically a box of glass, okay, inside another box of metal. So what are we doing kashing with Liban Kal when it's glass? Okay? So the answer is like this. Really, you can kash the cheres. You can kash the glass also for that matter. You can't do hagol to it. You can kash them with Liban. If you do Liban to a cheres, that's fine. Okay, now you have to be worried about breaking it. So you have to do your Liban in a way that shows you're not going to break it. You're going to break it. But if you, let's say you put your oven on to 500 for an hour, or you turn it to self clean. You're not afraid of breaking it. It's meant to take that. There's no chashas of breaking the oven at that point. So that's not a problem with breaking it. So you could do Liban gummer to it if it can handle it. But so you could do Liban to a cheres of glass. So here, this is from this. What I'm about to say is from Chaim Chernov. He says like this. We had way back in Halacha Dalet, the Ramah says, any time a person is doing Liban just as a Chumah, then they could do Liban Kal instead of Liban, because since there are the Hagoyis Maimon, he holds that Liban Kal is real Liban, so when any time doing Liban just as a Chumah, you could be Simach on the Hagoyis Maimon and say that Liban Kal, that's also Liban also. So he said, the Ramah really agrees Min Hadin that glass does not absorb. Okay? As you see from the document, the Tazim Mogan of Rome say this, that the Yevon, you don't have to kasher it, but the Yevon, you can do a go to it. So, Min Adin, he agrees from the Chaver that glass is not polite. It's a chumrah that the Ashkenazim have, that they don't kasher glass. So, since treating this like cheres, I mean, since the need to do Liban on this kli, it's only a chumrah, so if it's only a chumrah, you need Liban on this kli, so therefore, you could do Liban Kal instead of Liban. You don't have to Liban Gamer, because since it's only Chumah to need Liban, meaning to say you can't just do Hagolah that it doesn't absorb, so therefore you could do Liban Kal, and therefore the glass that's on your oven is able to be kashered, the porcelain enamel that's on your oven, or the glass in the door, okay, if that'll make you feel better, the glass on your door is able to be kashered with Liban Kal, because Liban here is only a Chumah. Since Liban is only a Chumah, the Rambam says, when Liban is a Chumah, you could do Liban Kal instead. Now, so
he's saying it's good even according to the Grah.
Not according to the Grah. According to the Grah, according to Tosis, a thin layer of glass on metal, the glass has a din of cheres. So if the glass has a din of cheres,
but Liban Kal, according to the Grah's Maimon, it wouldn't work on cheres?
It would work according to the Grah's Maimon. But that only, so you can only be samach on that if you're doing only Liban as a chumrah. But if you hold like the Grah, according to Tosis, why, this is not a chumrah to do Liban on this thing. It's cheres. So the fact that you have to do Liban to it is because it's cheres, not a chumrah. It's just plain old cheres.
It's a chumrah because we all have the din of glass
on it. No, Tosis is saying that when it's a very thin layer, it doesn't have the din of glass anymore. Tosis for sure says that. When it's a very thin layer, it's not a din of glass. And the Grah thing, and it's not glass, and it becomes cheres. So since it's a thin layer, it's not glass, it is cheres, so it's not a chumrah attached to this thing anymore. Tosis is saying, even if you hold the glass, usually it's not glass. That's a completely glass clay. But a glass clay that's just a thin layer, not a full clay, just a thin layer, that doesn't have the cools of glass.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grah says, what he means to say is, it doesn't have the cools of glass, but rather it has the din of cheres. So it has the din of cheres. So it's not a chumrah to do Liban to it, it's meant that you have to do Liban to it.
But all right, so then you're saying you're not like the Grah, so then why do you need this whole cheshbon that goes by me? Then you're saying that
then it's glass.
Then
it goes before it's being made of glass. Well, glass you have to leave it to, because it's cheres. Ashkenazim are machmir to treat glass like cheres. So if we treat glass like cheres, so then yeah, that's how it's trapped to leave it to it.
So the Rishonim that say that glass is like cheres, or to be machmir like that, say even that why there is money the kunya. They'll say money couldn't be captured because of the glass layer too.
I don't know what they say about the glass layer. They say because maybe they would, because the Rosh says the glass takes on properties of the cheres because they're so similar to each other and they were fired together, so it takes on properties of the cheres. But in the Mani D'Kunya, it's easier, because the Mani D'Kunya has an underlayer of Cheres. So no one cares about what the Glias is in, because the underlayer of Cheres makes it need people. Okay. Anyhow, so it has this Machlokes Drush and Tosfos has a Nafkamina for ovens, and since I believe they didn't follow Drush, and even if you want to say Tosfos is Pashtus and not like what the Gros says, that's why people catch their ovens the way they do. Okay. Now I'm going to add one other thing, and then I have to get to the Ramah. I know that it's been going on for a while, but I just want to get to the Ramah. The Mishabur sticks in a completely different case. It's the same style, but different case, which is what ends if you have a metal coating on Cheres? We keep the thing here is about a glass coating on Cheres. What ends if you have a metal coating on Cheres? Which I guess I don't know what that is, but I guess that exists. A metal coating on Cheres. So the Mishabur says there, the Haskam is Hafoiskim, it's a Shah and the Mogan Abram and Chokyak, but there the Haskam is Hafoiskim is that the Bli goes through the metal. Because even a thin layer of metal doesn't stop leaves from going through it, and then it gets into the cheres, and the cheres can't be kasher. Okay, so then you're stuck. In that case, which is not the case of the Gemara, in that case you're stuck and you can't be kasher.
Good sign. It wasn't the same idea.
Yeah, it conducts heat. Metal.
I don't remember. Okay, there's a Mogan Avraham talks about this. He says that it's a shayla about it, and the Chokak says everyone agrees that it's us. I don't know what the shayla is. Okay. The Mishabur says that, like the Chokak, that has come to learn that it's not, that it's a problem. Okay, now.
Why don't
you
make the cheres there right there?
So that.
From the cheres to the metal.
When you have a metal on top of the thing? So you're saying that's a raya. That's a raya that when you have things that are welded together into one kli, it shows that it becomes one kli. I'm not sure. Maybe that has to do with what the shayla is. Because here, it's hard even to call them welded. It's that you put them into the fire and they become a sandwich like this. It's hard. Most people wouldn't say, no, this is cheres with glass on top, like a tzudiv and kalim. There comes a point that you treat like one kli. I'm not sure. Let's see what the Ramah says. There are places that have a meaning to not use glazed cheres. Even if they're new, the Mechaber was talking about ones that were used, that have been used for chametz. So he says there's a meaning to not even use new ones. The ein lahachmir, you shouldn't be machmir, rak b'makom ha-minik, except in a place that has such a minik, fine, but if you don't have a minik, you don't have to be machmir. Why were people machmir on this? So the reason is because the Mishabur brings, the reason is because there was a chash that the coating was made with bran, and the coating was made with bran would make the coating chametz stick. So even if it was a new one, the coating that was put on it was a chametz, was a chash that the coating was chametz stick. Therefore, people didn't want to use these kind of plates because of the chash that there was chametz in the creation of the plate. There was chametz used into it. Okay, so I'm gonna just use this as a chance to tell you an interesting thing, which has a practical nafkamina for Pesach, which is like this. The Mechaber says in Taf Samachay, the first two didn't talk about that bran. Okay, bran is the outer layer of the wheat kernel. That bran can become chametz. The simple reading is that not only can the inside, the kernel, the part that we eat, become chametz, but even the bran itself can become chametz. That's the simple way of reading it. The Bach and the Prima Gadim are Mesupik, if that's really true. They say maybe the Mechaber didn't mean that bran can become chametz, but all he meant was that that bran usually has little pieces of the kernel attached to it, and so therefore if you have bran, you could treat it like chametz because it may have some of the kernel mixed in with it also. But the bran itself can't become chametz. Okay? And just as an aside, before we go on, I once mentioned this Bach from Prima Gadim to Rabbi Shachter. So he said, there's a person who wrote an article about whether you could use, what would be the din if you would take, it was his shita, there's one part of the kernel, I believe it was the gluten, that he considered to be the Davar HaMachmitz within the Chamesh Yismini Dagon. This scientist went around looking around to see what's unique about the Chamesh Yismini Dagon that other grains don't have, and if I remember, he thought it was the gluten. So the shayla was, what would be if you would take the gluten out of the Chamesh Yismini Dagon, what would be the din of that thing afterwards? Would it become chametz or would it not? And then you let it sit water for 18 minutes, would it become chametz or would it not become chametz? Okay. And then should we treat it as kidneys, maybe? Maybe it should be kidneys. Because imagine, I mean, wheat is so similar to wheat. Maybe it should be like kidneys. That was a child. And the Rishakta thought there was a lot of merit to what this person said. So Rav Shechter said, so we have no problem. We can answer the, we can be in Yasha, the back of people going to the child. We'll check if there's, I think the gluten is the thing that you're supposed to look for.
Gluten
look.
Is exclusive to these five?
Right.
That's a gluten-free thing, right?
Right.
And a machmir, right? Rice is okay for gluten-free people. Right,
correct.
Right.
Well,
that's because
it's not right. What? So, well, actually,
that's the word.
What it is that, if I understand correctly, is gluten is what makes the things stretchable, so that when the fermentation, the same fermentation that causes bread to rise, could happen to rice also. But in bread, when it rises, I think this is correct. The gluten helps it hold the gases inside of it, so that the bread rises and it becomes this big puffy thing. And then when you put it in the oven, it holds that shape. As opposed to the other ones don't have this thing to make it stretchable, so the gas escapes. So the gas is all getting out of there. It's not getting any bigger. It's not rising. Nothing's happening to it. It's just sitting there and fermenting, but nothing's... It's not turning into a bowl of dough, which is staying in just a, what it was originally. Something like that. Okay, anyhow, but... I was about to say that. Which is the Magen Avraham on the Magen Avraham says the Shulchan Aruch says in a different place in Hilchos Matzah says that you can make matzah out of bran also. You can make matzahs out of
bran. A little bit of seitan.
What?
You
can make matzah out of bran also. You could be yoked to the mitzvah by eating matzah made out of bran. The chiddush theory is that even though it's not the finer bread, and you think you'd have to have a more chashur bread, you could be yoked anyhow. Okay, you could be yoked to that. It's not terecheris, you could be yoked anyhow. So the Magen Avraham says, you see from here that bran really is matzah. Why? Because if bran wouldn't be matzah, the only things that are kosher for matzah are things that can become chametz. Things that can't become chametz can't be matzah. So you see that bran itself can become chametz. Meaning, I mean, he's not, he was before the Bach and the Prima Gavim, but, I'm sorry, before the Prima Gavim, he said, not like them being besotic that it really can't become chametz. So he said, you can't become chametz. So he said, no, maybe it's not a raya, because maybe you just have to have the minim that can become chametz, those minim are kosher for matzah. But it doesn't have to be that this specific sample can become chametz, it's just that this min can become chametz. So the min of wheat can become chametz, so wheat is kosher for matzah. Rice can become chametz, so rice is not kosher for matzah. But within the wheat itself, it doesn't have to be that every single sample that you have in front of you can become chametz. Okay, that's what he's misunderstood. Okay, and in fact, like you said, it's very much nafkamina, the Nishma Sodom brings, a machlokes Rambam and Ramban about exactly the shaila, whether is it only the min, does it have to be the min that can come from it, or your sample, and it has a huge nafkamina for people who want to eat oat matzahs. Okay, because oat matzah, oats cannot become chametz. Let me finish what I'm saying. Because oats, when you harvest oats, oats is different than other grains. All the grains, when you harvest them, you let them dry out, and they'll last for 1,000 years afterwards. They don't spoil. But oats become rancid after a few weeks if you don't do something to it. And what you have to do is you have to treat it with heat, and the heat kills all anything that's living inside of it, all the bacteria and the microorganisms that are living inside of it, so that that it doesn't become rancid. There's nothing in there to make it rancid. Okay, but it also kills the ability for it to become chametz. It's killing everything, including the things that would make it chametz also. So if you harvested the oats and baked matzahs in the summer, or whenever the oats become matzahs, fine, then it can become chametz. But usually when you get oats that are for making for oat matzahs, you harvest the oats, you heat treat them with dry heat instead of with wet steam like you usually do, so they don't become chametz. You treat them with dry heat, and then 8 months later, you make matzah out of the things. At the point that you're making matzah...
They have a different treatment for matzahs.
Yes, when they want to use it for matzahs, they do it with a dry treatment, but... When you're making matzah, it can't become chametz at that point. If you soak it in water, it will not become chametz. So at that point, it's something that's not right to become chametz. At this point, it could become chametz when you started it. When you harvest it, it could become chametz. It's a min that could become chametz. But when you're standing there ready to make matzahs, you've already treated it that it can't become chametz. So that, it might even be the Mishra Sodom, it's his own nafkamina, that he says oat matzahs, but I'm not sure about that. So it's a nafkamina, a person who can't eat wheat matzahs, and he has a choice, that he eats spelt or oat matzahs, so he's really better off eating spelt matzahs. Okay, because spelt matzahs is like any other grain, and it can become chametz. But the oat matzahs, I'm not saying if a person's sick, they eat what they can, and the Mishra doesn't say that it's offered, the Machlokes, whether is it the min has to be royal lahasmitz, or the sable has to be royal lahasmitz. Okay. That's a side point to our side point. Okay. Now, the Mishra Berurah assumes, the Mishra Berurah in Tosfos Samachay, where the Mechaber says that bran can become chametz, the Mishnah Berurah assumes this, like the simple reading that yes, bran itself can become chametz. Okay, that's the simple reading that the bran can become chametz. Okay, so all this, like the Mechaber sounds very theoretical. Who cares whether bran can become chametz? It has a very real nafkamina, which is most of the world, does fermentations the way we're used to. They put a big vat of glucose, of sugar, and they put the bacteria into it. The bacteria eats the sugar, and it makes more of itself, and more of what, byproducts, and all kinds of things, and everyone's happy. The Japanese have a different way of fermentation. It's called Koji fermentation, K-O-J-I, Koji fermentation. And that fermentation, instead of growing on glucose, grows on wheat bran. Okay, that's what they grow it on. They lay out beds of wheat bran, they sprinkle the microorganism, a liquid version of it, they sprinkle them over the wheat bran, they grow on the wheat bran, and then after however long it takes them to grow, they dunk it into water, and then they separate out the microorganisms from everything else, or what they want, and then they start again. Okay? So, if you hold that wheat bran can become chametz, then things made by Koji fermentation are chametz. And if you hold that wheat bran cannot become chametz, or you hold that it's only a sub of chametz, then that has a very different din to it. Okay? And just with this, I'm going to finish, that there's something very real that we all know is made from Koji fermentation, which is the enzyme used in lactate, okay? That which is an enzyme that everyone says is a chametz enzyme. That's why the chewable lactates are not kosher pesach, because they're made almost all in one place in Japan, and that place uses Koji fermentation. That's their style of fermentation. It's made on wheat bran, so it's just worth knowing that there is a shaila as to whether that method of fermentation makes chametz. Even though it's made on wheat bran, but wheat bran itself, it's a shaila whether wheat bran is considered to make something chametz. But as I said to you, the Mishnah Berurah is here, and the Mishnah Berurah over here is assuming, like the Ramah says, is a minhag to not use glazed kalim because they might use bran in the process. Is everyone's coming with an assumption that bran does become chametz, which, as surprised as you might think, has enough meaning to this case.